Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is taking over for Will East in Studio X. Rhino, earlier when Will came out, he did like a Hulk Hogan intro, and I cut a Hulk Hogan promo, and it nearly killed the show. I couldn't talk. Like, I had to send my daughter to get me a big bag of cough drops, as you can see here, so just so I could get through the show. That's a bad one when you're about to do 4 hours of radio, and you may have killed your voice in the first segment. Don't ever do that, kids, in case you're listening. Could have been bad. Could have been bad. It's not bad, though. We're still here. We are presented by Dossett Big Four. Can we call it 50 years? They've been in Tupelo a long, long time, and they've been taking care of their customers and serving their community. If you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle right now in North Mississippi, my friends at Dossett Big Four would love to earn your business. Come by, say hello, get to know them, get to take a look at their award-winning service department, and know that you're making a purchase that's going to bring you back many, many times. Dossett Big Four here in North Mississippi, 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo, or you can visit them online, DossettBig4.com. All right, as we are in the show here, the SEC will be announcing the kickoff windows for the 2026 football season. Now, we already know the first 3 weeks of the season. Those times have been locked in. Mississippi State will play ULM at 6:30 p.m. on September 5th. That's opening day. 2:30 p.m. at Minnesota. That game will be on CBS. And then a 3:15 kick in Columbia when they go to South Carolina. 3:15 Central, 4:15 local time for that one. So we know those three times. Now we're going to find out just the windows. So if you recall that from last year, you have four windows. You have the early window, which means the game will kick off no later than 12:30 Eastern, I believe. Then you have the afternoon window. Those games will kick off anywhere from 2:30 to 3:15. Then you have the evening window, which is everything after 6. And then you have the flex, which allows you anything from 2:30 to the evening. So it basically covers the afternoon and the evening. If you get a flex, you know that you don't have an early kickoff. That's all that really does for you there. So we're going to have to wait and see on those. But they should be out, and you know, by the time we get halfway through the show, we'll have that stuff. Well, we also have today here in Starkville was some good news that Jacob Parker announcing that he'll be back for another year in maroon and white. Now, I want to make one thing real clear. There was never any doubt there was going to be another year, or another 2 years in maroon and white for Jacob Parker. That kid's a bulldog, died all the way through. He's not going anywhere. And that means that the guy that is probably the favorite to win SEC Player of the Year 2027 will be in Starkville. The guy who I would think might be the favorite to win SEC Pitcher of the Year will also be in Starkville, in Tomas Valinkas. But I've been talking up Parker for the past few months, and I don't know that I'm being generous enough with my praise with this kid. He continued to get better each and every week. You think about freshmen, and you know, you think about a true freshman comes in, highly hyped guy, big time talent, and you think, okay, you know, he goes through the first month of the season, they're playing all the non conference games, and he's hitting like 350 or something, and he's off to a great start. Then conference play hits, and you start seeing those pitchers, and that average comes down a little bit, and you look up in the middle of April, and he's down to like 265, 270. And then you get into the late April, early May, and he's never played this many games before, and he's starting to hit the freshman wall. And, you know, he finishes the season, you know, 250, 260. And you're like, oh, well, he'll get better as the year goes. And, you know, next year, he'll continue to develop. And Jacob Parker did the opposite of that. He was hitting 260 when State went to Arkansas to start conference play. He raised his average nearly 100 points and then moved forward throughout the year and just stayed hot. And someone asking, isn't Parker draft eligible next year? I don't believe that he is. I believe he is locked in for two more seasons in maroon and white. So I think he's going to be one of the big prospects for the 2028 draft is what I believe. I'm correct on that. I'm like 99% sure that he has got two more seasons in Starkville for him to be enjoyed by the Diamond Dog faithful. But, you know, you think about the way he performed in the postseason. Most outstanding regional, most outstanding player of the regional, Starkville Regional. He was 7 of 10. Goes over to Georgia and put, what, three balls over the fence out there and, you know, had the home run that gave State the late lead, and if they could have just held on to it, which they couldn't. And that's a story for another day. But, you know, we're going to talk later in the show about the transfer portal and what State needs to do there and what they've already done there to a degree. But Jacob Parker coming back, you know, when you look at State through the past few years, you know, especially in the last, say, 12 months or so, maybe go back a little bit further, but you had Josh Hubbard, not so much after this season, but after his sophomore season, a lot of smoke that he was going to get in the portal. He never did. Never jumped in the portal. Made it really clear that he wanted to be at Mississippi State, stayed at Mississippi State. After this past after baseball season, the guy was Ace Reese from a year ago. And there was a lot of smoke that he was going to get into the portal. A lot. To the point where there were some people saying that, hey, just go ahead and prepare yourself for this. Instead, he never got into the portal, stayed at Mississippi State, played his career out here. He'll likely be a first-round draft pick in about a month. Then you had, I thought the guys, you know, this year, Kelly Jones was probably the one I had the biggest worry about, maybe Anthony Evans. Two guys, again, that never got in the portal. State has not had the success, in terms of football especially, of bringing in super elite guys as of yet. That hasn't happened for State. They've gotten some good players through the transfer portal, no question about that. But they haven't brought in, you know, like what Ole Miss did a few years ago with Walter Nolan and Princely Mamiel. They haven't had a class like that. And some people point at that and say, obviously, State doesn't have the resources. To me, the fact that State has done such a good job in retention, you think about this past football season. Guys like Kamario Taylor, Fluff Bothwell, Isaac Smith, Kelly Jones, who you mentioned a minute ago, Anthony Evans, all those guys could have gotten in the portal. All those guys would have had multiple offers to play at powerful schools and would have had offers to play for big money. But none of them got in the portal. They all stayed at Mississippi State. I'm sure that they like being at Mississippi State. You don't want to stay somewhere you don't like, no matter what the money is. I mean, that's something we can all relate to, right? There are places where you work and you're like, the money's not good enough for me to stay here. But they didn't get into the portal because Mississippi State made it financially feasible for them to stay at Mississippi State. And that's the same case here. And as I mentioned earlier on Sports Talk, talking to a couple of sources, Parker's NIL deal for next year isn't, I don't think it's all set in stone just yet. He will get a big number. Whatever Ace Reese got, he'll probably get a little bit more, if I had to guess. And Reese last year was one of the highest paid players in college baseball. Parker, there's a chance that Parker could be the highest paid player. Somebody asking Parker at third base next year? And absolutely not. He's an outfielder all the way. No way. The State will go out and find a third baseman in the portal. And they'll go out and get a big bat to play the corner spot. Parker will be a right fielder until the day he leaves Mississippi State, in my opinion. Maybe moves to center. I don't know. But I think he's better off in right. You want a little more speed in center than Parker, what Parker can give you. But the Bulldogs have done a fine job of retaining talent. And now with baseball, you know, we've talked so much about the amount of resources being put into this program. A lot of that has to go into retention when you have players like Jacob Parker. You know, and when we're talking about, you know, you want to get guys to stay, come out of the draft, he and Bauer both. My guess is Bauer will have a big number as well, as he should. That's a guy who, you know, he showed enough this year to make you think he's kind of what I was talking about, right? Like as a freshman, you saw some flashes, you saw some signs, and you're excited about year two. With Parker, it was, oh, this guy's good already. He's great as a freshman. If he doesn't change anything, If his batting average, home runs, and RBI are the same the next 2 years, he'll still go down as one of the top 5-10 greatest players in the school's history. As it is, if he does improve, he will go down as one of the top 2 or 3. You know, there is a very clear path for Jacob Parker right now to put his name right up there with Clark and Palmeiro. And if he has the postseason success, he can get his way into Omaha, go a step further, he could be up there as the greatest of all time. So big, big news for Mississippi State getting Jacob Parker locked in for the 2027 campaign here at Mississippi State. All right, still waiting on any kind of announcement from the SEC regarding this. You know how they like to do. They want to milk things. And the SEC is the ultimate. This meeting could have been an email kind of place. So we're going to talk some more baseball when we come back. State's hit on some players already in the transfer portal and some good names there and some guys that fit right into what they want to do next season. We'll talk about that when we come back. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Nowadays, Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
I need to hear the voice. I'm not going to get to. It's going to run too long. Who is it?
Suicidal Tendencies.
Oh, man. Very nice. Very nice. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. We're presented by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. If you're looking for a new car in North Mississippi, Dossett Big Four is the way to go. Still waiting on the SEC to start putting out these time slot options, as they call them. So we'll get those. Hopefully, as we go along, someone asking on the C Spire text line, give O'Connor a grade relative to salary and NIL spent. I'd say it's a B this year. You know, B, B minus. You know, losing in someone else's super regional is disappointing. They were really close to being a host of a super regional. I do think if McPherson doesn't get hurt, they would have hosted at the super regional. They would have been a higher C. They would have had a couple more wins, but at the end of the day, you can't get swept back-to-back weekends at home, and that's what hurt him more than anything else. So, you know, the record against really good teams was a little disappointing. But that being said, you know, this team played well for most of the year. They won 43 games. They hosted a regional, and the foundation appears to be set for the future. So I'd say a B, and that's about where I would put him. So State, we haven't done this in quite some time, Rhino, but Mississippi State Baseball has been working hard in the transfer portal. State did a thing that some schools like to do, where you get a bad loss, you immediately announce you got a pickup from recruiting. You give everybody something to talk about, but that happened on Saturday, right after State dropped the first game of the Super Regional. This got announced that, let me make sure I have the name right. Yeah, Brady Christman, I assume it's Christman, coming to Mississippi State from Georgia State. He was the Sun Belt Freshman of the Year last season. 384 hitter, 12 home runs. He slugged 480, 7-9. I'm sorry, slugged 719, 480 on base percentage. This is a guy that, you know, with a sort of like Parker, right? With another year, he hit 12 home runs last year. He should be a 15 to 20 home run guy for Mississippi State this upcoming season. He provides protection in the lineup for Mississippi State for Jacob Parker. So that's a really good start to the transfer portal. That was on Saturday. On Monday, Mississippi State gets a second commitment from the transfer portal. And this one from Samford. Jake Souders is the name. And another player that, you know, double-digit home runs, over 300 in the SoCon, which is a quality baseball conference. The current SEC Player of the Year, Daniel Jackson, started his career in the SoCon. State has gotten a couple of players out of the SoCon in the transfer portal, R.J. Yeager and Colton Ledbetter, who had great seasons. I shouldn't say careers. Great seasons in Starkville. So this is another guy who, you know, when you look at him, 17 stolen bases kind of stands out for me as well. So a good athlete, a guy who I think can come in. And I don't know if he's your leadoff guy, but he'll be a key part of your lineup. So the lineup is starting to figure its way out just a little bit, right? You know Parker's coming back. Expect Ryder Woodson back. Expect Kevin Malewski back. So you've got, you know, six players of your lineup. You still got to find a first baseman. Still got to find a third baseman. That's going to be difficult. Could Aiden Teal be a guy who takes a step forward and gets his job back in center and moves, you know, gives you more of the production you were expecting to get from him when he arrived at Mississippi State? Could Sean James take the job at second base? I think he did a yeoman's work at catcher this year, but that's not his natural position. I think he really just did the best he could. I think that he will be in the mix to be the second baseman next year. But one thing I think I know about Brian O'Connor is he's not going to just let – Parker's the only guy I think right now you could take a Sharpie and write his name in the lineup card. Everybody else is going to have to compete. So I expect State to go out and get, aside from the positions where they know they need someone, places like second base, places like shortstop, places like center field, places even like catcher. And Chrisman is a guy who played a little catcher at Georgia State. They're going to go get guys to compete for starting jobs there. And, you know, one of the things about being a good team, and this is true about just about every good team, is you've got guys on your bench who could start other places. And State certainly had that this year. I mean, Vitas Valencias, who ended up being one of State's leading hitters by the end of the season, he spent most of the season on the bench. Blake Beavis had a big role midway through the season. Spent most the first half of the season on the bench. Even Jacob Parker didn't really start until SEC play started going. So that's the way that needs to be. State needs to have this competition. The other thing State really needs is obviously is pitching. You know, their bullpen this year was, it was a weakness. There's no getting around it. It's what cost them in the Super Regional. It cost them several games throughout the year. So they've got to go out and get some pieces there in the bullpen. They got the first one yesterday, and the thing I like the most about it is it's an SEC-proven piece. South Carolina right-hander Zach Russell. This is a guy who 2.53 ERA and 32 innings pitched for the Gamecocks. He was really one of their better relievers this year. And again, kind of going back to what I talked about on the podcast, not necessarily a guy who throws 97, 98, guy who's going to throw, you know, mid-90s, but he gets outs. And that was State's problem this year, is they just couldn't get outs out of the bullpen at the way that they needed to. So that's your first three. I believe it was Baseball America I saw earlier that had of that group. They had Chrisman and Souders already in the top 10. Now, obviously, the transfer portal is still open. A lot of stuff still going on there. Yeah, the top 10 committed transfers, Chrisman 7th and Souders 8th. No rest for the weary in the SEC. The top two are at LSU, and number three is at Tennessee, and number five is at Texas. So still a long way to go in the transfer portal, but there you go. What about State's high school commits? Obviously, you got to wait to see where, you know, how the draft pans out for all of those guys. A guy like Will Brick is State's highest rated prospect. Probably going to go in the first couple rounds. Same with Rocco Maniscalco, the son of Matthew Maniscalco, could go in the first round. So the high school class, I don't know if there's anybody in there. Brick maybe could be the guy who could make the same kind of impact. I don't know that for a fact, but with high school class, you got to wait until after the draft to really get into that. Chrisman's from Georgia Southern. The first thing I looked at said Georgia State, but then I looked it up. You're right, Bill. Appreciate you. What players off the team are in the portal? So for State right now, I know that Chris Billingsley is in. Peter Mershon is in. That one's a little bit surprising. I thought he might have a chance to compete for a starting job, but he is going to go ahead and move into the portal. Parker Rhodes is in. Peyton Fowler is in. Not Parker Rhodes. Patrick Spencer. Patrick Spencer is in. Peyton Fowler is in. James Nunnally is in. And I believe that's all. Andrew Raymond is in. for Mississippi State. So of the guys in there, there's not a guy that you're just like, oh, no, they lost him. I'm sure there's those talented players, but there's not anybody that just stands out as you got to have that guy back. You know, for me, for State, in the lineup, it's about keeping Parker, Woodson, and Maluski. Teal and James, if they want to stay great and fight for their job, great. If not, you'll find somebody else. And then from a pitching perspective, obviously McPherson, obviously Valinkas, Duke Stone, Maddox Miller, Jack Bauer. I would say Jack Gleason is the guy you'd like to see back in maroon and white next season. Tyler Pitzer is a name that I've heard might be entering the portal soon. If he comes back, great, but I think he does want to find a place where he can get a chance to start, so we'll see if that works out or not. If he may go to the draft, he may go to the portal. Right now, I don't know if he'll be back at Mississippi State next year or not, but that's a guy that I thought for sure would be, you know, be a bigger player this year, and he ended up being. Billingsley is in the portal. Someone's asking about that. The name I haven't seen yet is Charlie Foster, and I keep hearing the same thing over and over again when it comes to Charlie Foster. His stuff is great. It's first-round grade, but he just can't get the yips out. He's got the mental block that's keeping him from that. If he could ever break through, you've got a guy who could be a Friday night caliber starter in the SEC. The problem is State doesn't have the time to experiment, so maybe Foster sticks around. You give him another shot. If you feel like the talent is there, I don't know. I just know that if I see Charlie Foster walking out to the mound in an important game, I'm not going to be confident until I see him pitch through an important game and give you six or seven quality innings. So, still a long way to go in the transfer portal. Plenty more to come up with. All right, hopefully when we come back, we can get some of these kickoff times going. I don't know what the SEC is waiting on. Here we go. We're starting to get there, I think. We'll figure it all out when we come back. Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi, back in just a minute.
Super Talk Mississippi. And Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We are presented by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. We've got some kickoff windows. Not times, but windows. All right, so as we mentioned earlier, the first three times of the kickoff times of the season are set for Mississippi State. We know those times. 6:30 p.m. kickoff for Mississippi State's season opener against ULM. 2:30 p.m. kickoff against Minnesota. That game in Minnesota will be on CBS. And then a 3:15 Central, 4:15 local time kickoff against South Carolina, first road SEC game of the year. We now know the next three times, and we got a couple of interesting ones. Week four against Missouri at home, Mississippi State will get into the night window. So State will get a night home game against an SEC team. They did not have a night home game against an SEC team last season. Just thinking back, Tennessee kicked off at, what, 3? I think Tennessee, Texas, both kicked off at 3:15. Who else did they play? Ole Miss, obviously, was an early kick. And then what was the other the home game last year? They were at Arkansas. Who am I missing? I don't remember. Do I not remember State's schedule? Tennessee, Texas. Oh, Georgia. Georgia was also an 11 a.m. kick. So State did not have a night game. They've got one this year against Missouri. They turn around the next week with Alabama. That's in the early window. So you'll have an 11 a.m. to noon opportunity there for Mississippi State against Alabama. And then we talked about it on Sports Talk Mississippi, and the gods have heard us. Mississippi State, week six at LSU in the early window. Oh, I can hear the tears now. Oh, I can hear them. What do you mean we got to play at 11 a.m.? Yep, you and everybody else, buddy. LSU, Mississippi State, 11 a.m. Look, is State going to win that game? Probably not. Will they be a double-digit underdog? More than likely. But getting them in the early window is a great start for an upset. I'll just tell you that right now. So, still got a little ways to go. I'm trying to see if they've announced any more times since we last looked. We have. We got two more here. Oklahoma, that is a home game for Mississippi State. That's in the flex window. So State will kick that game off either at 2:30, between 2:30 and 3:30, or at night between 5 and 7. That's in the flex. The game at Texas is a night game. Halloween night in Texas between 5 and 7. That is in the night window. So now we're just waiting on the final games of the season, which are, at home against Auburn, at home against Vanderbilt, at home against Tennessee Tech, and then the Egg Bowl. We already know the time for that. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff on Black Friday. So State got we still three more games to find out the times for Mississippi State. Of course, the Tennessee Tech game will be State's SEC Network Plus flex game where they are allowed to set the time to whatever time they want. My guess is, and it's just a guess, they'll play that game early. You want to get that game over with, get ready, and you know you got the short week the next week with the Egg Bowl. Get into Egg Bowl prep as quickly as you can. So my guess is that game will be kicking off sometime between 11 and 1, probably in the early as early as you can get it there. So 11 a.m. for LSU is hilarious. You know they're griping. In fact, let me hold on. We may have to read some tweets here. I'm going to go to the LSU football Twitter page. I'm sure they're announcing this at the same time as Mississippi State is. Oh, they're not. Do they not have? Oh, they're not doing a step by step on that. That's disappointing. All right, here we go. Vanderbilt. They just announced it. That's a flex game. So State's going to have some opportunities. You think about a November 7th kickoff. Yeah, that game kicks off at 3:15. By the time you get in the second half, it's going to be dark. So State's getting some opportunities to use those LED lights this year. Didn't really have as many last year. But in this one, it looks like they're going to have some opportunities. So flex window for Vanderbilt, that's a 2:30, between 2:30 and 3:30, or between 5 and 7. If you made old Brian Haydad guess with the what those two teams are likely to be this year, I bet that ends up being a 3:15 SEC Network kickoff. Just call me crazy on that one. So waiting on Auburn and Tennessee Tech at this point. I can't believe I got to find an LSU. Did Moscona tweet anything yet? Let's see. He gets off work at 6 just like I normally do. So he hasn't said anything yet. He'll say something. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Have they put out I'm trying to see if they've got a league-wide one here. Here we go. So, week four. Just to give you guys some of the other games that are happening that week that are interesting. Tennessee at Texas is an 11 a.m. kick. That's already locked in. Ole Miss at Florida is a flex game. Texas A&M at LSU is a flex game. That'll certainly be a night game, you would think. It's kind of surprising that Alabama Mississippi State isn't. Well, I guess so. Florida at Missouri. I guess it makes sense. Week six, Ole Miss at Vanderbilt is a flex game. Georgia at Alabama is a night game. That's no surprise there. They've locked in the time for the Red River Rivalry, 2:30 kickoff here in Mississippi for that one. That State's off week. October 17th, Missouri at Ole Miss is an afternoon game, so that'll be either 2:30 or 3. My guess is Auburn, Georgia gets to 2:30 ABC, and Missouri at Ole Miss. But I guess if Ole Miss is beating LSU at that point, I don't know. We could see. Alabama-Tennessee is a flex game. That'll end up being a night game for sure. LSU at Auburn, but that's at Auburn, so it doesn't matter that it's the early game there. Oklahoma State is the – so looking ahead, okay, Oklahoma-Mississippi State will likely be an afternoon game. You got A&M at Alabama, and you've got Ole Miss at Texas. Those will probably be night games, and State will be in the 3:15. Mississippi State at Texas at night. We already know that one for Week 9. Week 10, Vanderbilt at Mississippi State's in the flex. The night game is Kentucky at Tennessee. They've got Alabama LSU flex. That'll probably end up being 2:30 ABC. Oh, that's also Georgia Ole Miss. Georgia at Ole Miss. Oh, man, would they give Alabama LSU? Would they put LSU on the 2:30 and give Ole Miss the night game? I bet not. I bet Ole Miss Georgia is the 2:30 game and Alabama LSU is the night game on that one, since it's at LSU. And then week 13, like I said, we already know that one, Mississippi State kicking off at 11 a.m. Have they announced the Auburn one yet? Not yet. Still waiting on Mississippi State Auburn and Mississippi State Tennessee Tech. They have not announced that one yet. Vanderbilt, yeah. I don't know why. The way they stagger these things is ridiculous. So I'm excited, though, to see a couple of night games on the schedule, you know. When you make the investment into the LED lights, and now everybody in the SEC's got them, you want to have at least a couple of opportunities to show them off. So right now, I know for a fact, you get them for the 6:30 kickoff with ULM, you'll get them for the night game with Missouri, and then that Vanderbilt flex game, unless it's a 2:30 game, which I don't think Mississippi State versus Vanderbilt's going to end up being the 2:30 ABC game. If you get a 3:15 kick, second half, you're going to be in the dark. So you're going to have an ample opportunity to use those. So that's good stuff there. And then still waiting on this. Still waiting on the Auburn game. Well, so only two games left. But you know, Alabama at 11 a.m. Fine. Who cares? I mean, what's the spread on that game as we sit here right this second? You know, Alabama plus 16.5, something like that, maybe even more. I'm not too concerned when you play that game. Yeah, but playing the Missouri game, a game that as we sit here today on June 10th and we look at it, we go, oh, State could have a chance in that one. Well, then, okay, getting the night atmosphere, getting a big crowd at night will probably, you know, give you a better opportunity. Doesn't really matter when you play Alabama. They're going to be favored. They're going to be likely to win in that scenario. So still trying to figure out this last game here. I don't know. What's the holdup? Guys, here we go. Auburn, it's an early game. Auburn is an 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. kick. So early game on November the 14th for Mississippi State, Auburn. And do they have any more for us? Give me that week 12. Not week 11, that's that, yeah. Still waiting on week 12 with the Tennessee Tech game. But again, as I said, that state's what's what I'm looking for. The flex game for the SEC Network Plus, the game that will only be available on streaming. I'll just go ahead and let you guys know now. It's a public service announcement. That game is only available on streaming. You cannot watch it on regular TV. You'll have to have SEC Network Plus, which if you have the SEC Network, you have SEC Network Plus, or you may have to watch it on Watch ESPN, which I would suggest you have as well. I have it, and so should you. You never know when you might need it. You might want to watch an FA Cup fourth round game, and you're like, dang it, how do I watch that? Well, if you got Watch ESPN, you can do that. All right, when we come back, we should hopefully have that last kickoff time locked in, and we'll go through it one last time. So we'll do that on the other side of this, wrap it up with you. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Flipping good.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Thank you.
All right, we'll wrap it up here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is he's pushing the final buttons, tweaking the final levers, whatever he's got to do to bring this ship to a complete and sudden halt. They do have the announcement here, so let's go through it real quick. Here's your entire Mississippi State schedule by kickoff window. Now, we do have some times already locked in. 6:30 p.m. for the opener against ULM, 2:30 against Minnesota on week two. That's at Minnesota. At South Carolina, 3:15 local kick for that one. 3:15 Central, 4:15 local. They'll start at 4:15 South Carolina. All right, Missouri, that is in the night window, so that game will kick off between 5 and 7 p.m. Alabama at home, that's an early window game. It will kick off between 11 a.m. and noon. They're off the week of the October the 10th. October the 17th at LSU, that is an early window, so they will play that game in Tiger Stadium. Kick off between 11 and 12. A flex window game against Oklahoma on October 24th. That means the game will kick off between 2:30 and 3:30 or between 5 and 7. A night window game at Texas. A flex window game against Vanderbilt. And then it's all early kickoffs. Early window against Auburn on November the 14th. Game kicks off between 11 a.m. and noon. They went ahead and set the time for the SEC Network Plus game against Tennessee Tech. That game will kick off at noon on Saturday, November the 21st. And then 11 a.m. kick on Black Friday in Oxford, Mississippi State versus the Ole Miss Rebels, the battle for the golden egg. That is locked in as well. So State's got a chance at three later kickoffs. Obviously, the night game for the Missouri game is set. We'll see what happens with Oklahoma. But regardless of what happens with Vanderbilt, likely the second half at the very least will be played under the lights. So State's going to have three of their home games this year will be night games, and possibly four. Depends on what happens with Oklahoma. Not bad. Not bad when you consider. So I still haven't seen, has LSU put out a thing about their schedule yet? No, they haven't. What is their social media doing? Get on it, guys. Let me just check actual LSU. That's probably more of the academic side of things. It is, so I don't know what's going on there. That's upsetting. So there you go. That's your SEC. Those are just the windows. We'll get the times 2 weeks ahead of time, and we go in and have some playing, have the flex, and depends on how your team is doing. So you see where I'm going with all this. You guys know how kickoff time works, don't you? We've been doing this long enough out here. So no fanfare from the SEC. They just announced it today. Like when they were announcing the schedules, it was 3 weeks ahead of time. Like, hey, we're doing this. So I still can't get over the fact that does LSU have any other? Surely they don't have any other early kickoffs, do they? So let's see here. Week 11, that was the last time I looked. Texas LSU is a flex. Week 10, Alabama LSU is a flex. Week 12, LSU Tennessee is a flex. But that's the week where almost everybody's playing a bad team. That'll end up being a night game. But that's at Tennessee, so it doesn't really matter. LSU's final game of the season is against Arkansas. That's at Arkansas, though. It's an early kick. Dang it, I thought we got lucky. Oh, well. They'll just have to complain, and we'll just have to listen to it. They will complain, by the way. They will. Now, hold on. I'll give you an example. Tiger Stadium at night, it's such a big deal. And I don't understand why we got to play an early game. It's hot. It's hot in Tiger Stadium. I just don't get it. It's just different, and I don't know what to do. Something like that sounds about right for me. So, yeah. I'm excited for that night. By the way, if you don't know this, I'm going to give you a stat. If you're an Ole Miss fan listening, you can laugh. It's fine. I can't get mad. Mississippi State has not won a home SEC football game since they beat Auburn in November of 2022. I want you to think about that. 2023 season, they won one SEC game. It was at Arkansas. 2024 season, they didn't win any SEC games. 2025 season, they won one SEC game. It was at Arkansas. So we're talking about well over, we're going to like the 1,300 days. That Missouri game is massive for Mississippi State and for Jeff Lebby. you got to break that streak. Because then after that, if you don't beat Missouri at home, your next three SEC home, your next two SEC home games are against Alabama and Oklahoma. Now, maybe you can beat Vandy and Auburn in November. My gosh. Do yourself a favor and just beat Missouri and get it over with. Why are you guys so concerned about LSU? I'm not concerned about LSU at all. They're going to beat Mississippi State. I just think it's funny that they're going to complain that they got an early kick. Simple as that. I hope you get it. Hope you understand why I was laughing. All right. I'll be back on Sports Talk Mississippi all by my lonesome again tomorrow. We'll see what we can dig up and bring you guys some great content tomorrow. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.